Welcome to Power Trader Radio's Trade Talk, the show designed exclusively for the savvy stock trader or investor of today, with the latest market analysis and strategies, stock market tips and tricks, investments with options and spread trades, near report, news, events, analysis, and research. We put it together for you.
Hosted by Andy Peterson and Mark Eli.
And now here are your co-hosts,
Andy Peterson
and Mark Eli. And we're not the only guys on the show today. Please welcome CTO Ramesh Kumar and CMO, Chief Marketing Officer, John Lindahl. The four of us are here to take your calls and questions. Feel free to give us a call at 914-338-1702. We specialize in options trading, but you can ask us questions about Bitcoin, just the markets in general. I heard some strange news, like a rumor that we may have the longest bull market in history. I think I might have seen that on my Twitter feed or Instagram or Investopedia or one of the many resources, news sources that I look at on a daily basis. So, guys, is that true? Are we really in the longest bull market in history?
Oh, yep. As of March 2009, that's when it all started.
Wow. Thanks, Obama. That's great news. So,
it is.
Tell us a little bit more about this bull market. I mean, I know that it's particularly driven by the technology sector, but since 2009, that's been going on for a long time. Is this something that you could think is going to continue to last? And historically speaking, how does this fit in the category of the bull market since they've been tracking this sort of thing?
Well, you know, that's just 3,453 days of a bullish market. And what's interesting is that they define a bullish market where you don't have a dip of greater than 20%. So
okay.
that's kind of an interesting thing. So we had what they call a wobble a couple times. We've had the S&P come on down and challenge this bull market. It was a 10% wobble that was over 2 weeks in January, and the S&P fell. But we consider that a bullish market because we've had a continuous rise. And this, like you just said, this is the longest in history. And, you know, that's a great question. You know, there's a lot of contrarians out there been carrying banners around saying doomsday, get ready to buckle down. Paul Tudor Jones is a strong advocate of that. You've heard of Paul Tudor Jones. He made himself famous by using the stock crash of the 30s and the Great Depression in the 20s, 1920s, to model upcoming future trends and looking for patterns that he had learned in that research in that time period and being able to evaluate and predict patterns in the future. But that hasn't proved to be the case.
Yeah, and I do like that term wobble, and I think it lends itself to something that we've been working on a little bit. Two episodes ago, I think we had John on the podcast. We were talking about the alignment report. We were talking about making a specific change for him. Of course, it's going to positively impact many traders out there. That is the ability to limit the amount of trades returned by Ari's query engine to those that are very stagnant. And basically, he's looking for trades that have not wobbled more than 1 or 2% over the course of, you know, 6 or so months. We basically just say a percent change, but we also allow for wobbles as well. So we could either say, you know, I want to look at all stocks over a 6 month period that haven't strayed 2% from their current strike or stock price. And then we could say, yes, we will allow for wobbles. And so I think that could be something that we add to the alignment report, Mark, just in terms of terminology. I think just to use the term wobble would be a suitable approach to kind of describe what it is that we're trying to show our users. Yeah, do you want to see a wobble or don't you see want to see a wobble? And John, I don't know. Do you have a preference with regards to those trades where you're looking for a second trade? Do you care about the wobble in between a set time period for your segment trades?
Well, it all depends, Andy, on, you know, what the trade length is, what you're looking at in terms of, you know, how long you've got the trade open. So it obviously has an impact on how you might place a trade as to when that wobble comes in and hits. That the wobble Mark talked about earlier this year wasn't very long.
Right.
I think the thing that is, you know, going back to the whole bull market run that we've had, you know, we've survived a lot of things here. You know, there was the oil price crashing, the slow growth and with China, the euro. There was rumors of the euro being dropping, and
yeah, even Turkey now. Yeah,
you know, our credit rating was dropped, but you know, the bull runs normally end in recession, you know, I don't write really, you know, and these are some of these things cause wobbles too, and I think that you know, there's not much risk of a recession right now given our unemployment numbers, the Q2 growth, you know, earnings are really looking great, and things like
yeah.
that. So I don't really see the threat of that, but you know, in terms I prefer, you know, if I'm looking at something where I get a wobble, I guess we'd have to define what percentage change, Mark, would you say a wobble is? In something.
Well, you know, that's a good thing. Obviously, it didn't break the 20%, so that's
right.
But they said the wobble they were showing was a 10%, so that, you know, what's interesting though, you know, talking about these wobbles and stuff, if you put this in perspective and you go back to 2009 and you look at the Dow in 2009, the beginning of 2009 was 6,500. Yeah. So we've actually tripled in the Dow in this bull run period. We've gone from 6,500 to 26,000, over 26,500. And that's a phenomenal bull run. That's a huge run. So you, if you look at the Elliott wave, you have this two-third, one-third thing, and everything is in these ratios, and you're going back to a derivative of the Fibonacci sequence, and you're using those terms that they coined in trading, you know, the Fibonacci, the Elliott wave, all these different and types of technical analysis. And you notice that this pattern of three, one-third, two-thirds, three, and you notice this is a tripling of the
mm-hmm. – Yeah.
So a lot of analysts would say, hey, we're now predict a doom, predict a pullback. This is it. This is the trigger. Expect some sort of dip in the near future. However – and another person would look at that Elliott wave and say, hey, we've now pushed up, you know, three times. So you're going to have a one-third more up. So there's room for one-third more up before you have a pullback. So
gotcha.
What would that mean? So I guess the bullish trend would probably be contrarian to a lot of other traders. But most traders like you and I, we tend to be a glass half full type of guy. I like to see the bullish runs. I think the markets and companies go into business to make money, and I like to bet with them.
Right, and yeah. I think that's a good point. And yeah, John, just to interject here real quick before you do, I'm just looking at the bull market in general and the fact that that Mark, we've made some trades that have capitalized on this bull market, but there's also opportunities for bear market trades, as we looked at last week with the trade on the ticker YY. And if you haven't listened to last week's podcast, go ahead and take a listen on how you can trade and make money with with options in a bullish a stock that's trending bearish as well. Even if the entire market itself is bullish. And so, John, go ahead. I apologize for interrupting there.
No, I think, you know, just to tie on to what Mark has been saying is, you know, I think that we, as we, what we're going to be doing in the near future is we're going to have this webinar, and we're going to show people how to be nimble in how they trade based on technical indicators and that we are looking at in the short-term market, so that if a wobble comes and say it's 10-15% of an equity's price, we're going to capitalize on that until we see a change in the trend. So it's going to be a really eye-opening webinar for people upcoming, you know, soon. And but you know, I think what could cause a problem or threaten this bull run now is I believe it's, you know, the international growth in the growth in our country due to some of this trade war issue that's going on, because that could slow growth and it could lead to inflation, and those are some things that could rising rates could push the market into like a recession coming up.
Right.
So, you know, that could end it. I don't know if it would really drop that 20%, which is the kind of the
mark
for, you know, for a change like that.
Yeah.
But I think those are some things that could hurt us. Right now I have to say that I know there's a lot of naysayers out there, but right now I would say that we're going to continue in this trend, because I think we've got great numbers. We've got, you know, what was unemployment? Was it 3.9% in July?
Low. Yeah, very low.
Yeah, and you know, earnings have been great. The tax plan that Trump has put in, slashing the corporate taxes, has helped. There's the economy is strong, and you know, I guess some people might also say that valuations are a bit high, and so you might want to look at where you put your money into, you know, different sectors, and you might want to stay away from some of the international things that could be affected, and look at maybe some more small cap stuff. But you know, that's individual preference, but I don't see a change in this anytime soon. What are your thoughts?
Well, let me just interject here really quick, just about with regard to taking advantage of this bullish market. And before the call, I was talking to Mark and RK. RK is our CTO, Chief Technical Officer, just coming off of another certification, CISSP certification. Congratulations, RK, on that.
Yeah, thanks, Andy.
And now that he's done studying, he says Mark's been trying to talk him into doing an Amazon trade. And Mark has a lot of interesting comments about Amazon. And basically, just he has taken advantage of the bullish trend that Amazon's been taking over and over again with options trades. And I don't know if you want to go ahead and chat about that trade now, and we can go into some specific trades that we made as a result of taking a look at the markets, taking a look at what Ari is telling us, suggesting us to take a closer look at with regards to the bullish trends that we're looking at here.
Amazon has been a very expensive stock for investors to get into, and the majority of investors out there do not have the wealth to make a strong 100-share purchase of a $1,900 stock, because that would turn into $190,000 for a single purchase in one stock if you're going to buy 100 shares. But trading options, you can go ahead and whenever you trade one contract, you're controlling 100 shares. So with only like $1,000 or even less than $1,000, you can actually do a spread trade on Amazon. Now, in using options, we have a way of determining where the expectation of the investor is in the near future. We can see that their expectation in today and as far as several years out in the future. Well, if you look at the expectation in Amazon, between now and October 19, 2018, you're going to see that the expectation of the Amazon investors is bearish. They're all stacking against us. They're all going, there's more puts. There's more people buying insurance policies at this strike price at 1900 than there is people who are buying a bullish position. However, on October 19th, 2018, 57 days from now, you'll notice that there is a put-call ratio that is bullish, the very first one, and it's not only bullish, it's extremely bullish. It's at 0.51. And a number below 0.75 is very, very bullish. And a number below 0.5 is the most bullish you can go. And this is right there. It's at the prefaces of that. Now, you have open interest and volume. Open interest represents the spread trader like myself who's long-term invested into the stock. And when I say long-term, I'm talking over a week, a couple of weeks. Andy mentioned in his trading, please go to Andy's blog and read about his YY trades and his positions on how he likes to place a trade and what his attention wants to be on that trade. He mentions a 10-day cycle. I think that's a beautiful cycle. It's a nice number to get in. It generate a reward in 2 weeks, and it's a very feasible reward, and it keeps you interested. For beginner traders, I don't advise it so much, but Andy is no longer a beginner trader. He is now graduated to an advanced trader. So he's actually out there placing the – he's liable. So he's out there placing trades on his own. He's now able to go out and not use the OCW, the Option Chain Wizard, to place these trades, and that's what he's doing. He's going out and seizing opportunities on his own. But TradeCaddy has this product, the OCW, that will take a beginner trader and make you just as good a trader as Andy because it tells you everything and gives you all the tools that it needs to.
Yeah.
With that being said,
let me throw in a plug for OCW real quick, Mark. The OCW, a fantastic platform for you to learn how to trade. It's something that we're currently updating even as we speak with regards to making it better. It shows you all the calls and the puts. It gives you put-call ratios. Yes, you can find that stuff on other sites, but what you can't find on other sites are these bear options and these bull options and these stagnant options and these wild card options culminating, and I can't even remember how many types of trades you can make that the OCW pulls up for you. Now, granted, as of right now, the data is from last night, and so these are just for suggestions, but the data is close enough for you to say, man, this is a really good trade. What if I adjust the strikes up $1 or 1 point and then recalculate? What's my risk now? What is my break-even point going to be? What are the option prices? And you find something super appealing to you. You say, wow, can I really make that much ROI with this trade? Let me go over to my trading platform now and just see if this is too good to be true. Oftentimes it is not, and you can go ahead and place a virtual trade. And I do quite a bit, a couple times a day. I don't paper trade as much as I should probably, but you can learn from every single one that you make, and you can test to see how is the OCW matching up with my expectations. If it is, maybe next time this trade is going to be for real. And it tells you, it teaches you exactly what happens to that trade, to your profit margin, when you make adjustments on the strike. You can email it to yourself. You can go ahead and email your friends this trade. Just a great way to learn exactly what it takes to place these options trades. So when you go out, you take a look at Amazon, and you see what the put-call ratio is that Mark was just talking about with regards to any point in time that the strikes are given. Like you can, the first ones did, the day till expiration is, you know, just 1 day away, 2 days away, depending, but all the way out to several months out in time. 675 days till expiration for the June 19th, 2020 trades, you definitely learn quite a bit from the OCW.
A lot of people might wonder, why is October 19th, 2018 a bullish move for Amazon? The answer simply lies in something that Andy's been very good about looking into. Whenever he looks at a trade, first thing he does, he goes to the earnings date. and that's the answer. October 24th, 2018 at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, the Amazon is going to release their expectation, their actual earnings. Their estimated price per share, this coming earnings is $3.11 per share. Now, what's interesting is if you look at that and you compare that for the last four earnings that they've done, they've actually beat expectation for the prior entire year. Every quarter for the last four quarters, they beat earnings. The quarter before in July 26, 2018, they put an EPS of $2.54, and they came in and reported $5.07. So you look at April 26, they had $1.26, and they came in at $3.27, a doubling of their earnings per share. And, of course, their stock was driving up, driving up, driving up. Now, let's go back to an example of when they actually had a loss. In July 27, 2017, they gave an earnings per share estimate of $1.42, yet they only reported made 40 cents. Therefore, they lost 71.83% on based upon their projections. So other than that, they've only had one loss in the last 2 years. And Amazon might be considered a sandbagger. And Steve Jobs was a sandbagger. He would go out and he these CEOs are not supposed to sandbag. They're not supposed to go out and underestimate their earnings. They're supposed to be given a very as accurate an estimate as possible. And what these CEOs tend to do, used to do, is they would go out and they would say, hey, I can only make a dollar, knowing they could make three. And then whenever the results came out, the market would rally, and then the company would start dumping shares and making profit on that spike up. They would know. They would hold these shares, and the company would project release on after an earnings release. Now, Sarbanes-Oxley law came in, and they said that is illegal. And thanks to Enron, helped produce the Sarbanes-Oxley law. And now we have accountability to CEOs and CFOs and the executive team, especially only the CEO and the CFO. So this has been a long answer to Andy's question about my expectation of Amazon. I'm expecting it to be stagnant to slightly bullish through up to earnings. And the question is where is that threshold? That RK and I got in at $1,800. We went ahead and I'm going to rope RK into this. Him and I were looking at the Amazon trade. And I said, hey, RK, do you want to do a bull put on Amazon at $1,800? And he said, no, we didn't do it. So we... we passed an opportunity at 1800. Excuse me?
He's ready now, though.
He's ready. You ready, RK?
No, not yet. I wait.
We'll trade for you, RK. How does that sound?
Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to.
You mentioned that the stock price of Amazon right now is at 1900 or thereabouts. And I remember last year, actually in October or November, when I was creating that covered call class that is available out there, I think on YouTube or Vimeo, definitely out there on our website, or if you're a Udemy customer, over 5,000 Udemy customers, then you can find it there as well. Or just hit us up if you're looking for it. Anyway, it was at under $1,000, I think, is how much it was at that point.
Wow.
Don't quote me on that, but I mean the stock is just continues to climb. I think you're right. And based on the put call ratios and the earnings events coming up, there's still plenty of time to place a trade that's going to make you money on that. But talking a little bit about classes and about how I had that covered call class and how it's available out there, and we did it for free. And John, you had kind of teased a little bit about the class that you are planning on having coming up that we will be sure to advertise on this podcast, a specific date, as well as through our Udemy customers and online on Twitter and Facebook. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you have in store for us, John?
Sure. We're going to take a look at a stock that and what the we're going to compare buying the stock and holding it versus buying the stock and following the trend and placing options trades that are both bullish and bearish as we go through the different trends. And we're going to look at what would have happened if you had just bought the stock versus what would have happened if you had done the options along with the stock. And we're going to show the students how they can make money even in the stagnant markets when a stock doesn't change much over time. We've all had those stocks, and they're frustrating. And you know, you go spend some money to buy a stock, and a year later, it's the same price as you bought it at. And that's not what your growth objectives are. So we're going to show the students how to manage those kind of situations to where they can, you know, instead of being 0 or 1 or 2% plus or minus, they could be 20-30% plus in those scenarios or higher.
Yeah. And that's kind of what we've been playing with that ABDL trade. And Mark, last night I got an email from Mark through the OCW, which has recently been updated, I might have mentioned, about a trade that you tried to place yesterday. Can you give us a little background and history on that ABDL stock and why you wanted to place another trade last night? But it sounds like it didn't end up going through. The stock's down today a half a percentage point to 4.44. But what do you know about that trade, and what were your intentions this morning for the stock to do?
Well, you know, ABDL is a Irish pharmaceutical company, and here we're taking American dollars and we're investing in it overseas. And the one thing that I do want to mention is that this is a high risk trade. And it is a trade that I do not recommend to a person who doesn't have risk money, because the volume on this stock is not enough. It doesn't meet the criteria for a beginner to intermediate trader. It only has a daily volume of 534,000 today, but the average volume overall is only 337,000. So if you looking for a stock to invest in, you like to see a volume over a million a day, and this is not even close to that. So here we are. We're taking a high risk, and we're investing in this pharmaceutical company. But Andy and I, several months ago, probably 6 months ago, got into this stock when it was at $8. And we've been trading it with the expectation of a bullish to stagnant run. And yet the way we've been doing it is we've been nibbling and weeding our way, lowering our cost basis by selling these short calls. Unfortunately, I talked Andy into buying back that short call recently, and we ended up paying, I think, 50 cents or 40 cents for that and adding to our cost basis. Because our expectation is to say this stock was going to go ahead and rally, and our cost basis was down to $4.76, and now the stock's at $4.44, and we just added maybe 50 cents to it, so we're at $5.26. So we're now losing money on the stock, and we're on the entire time before that we were profitable on this stock, and here we now I was going to go ahead and double it down. And meaning, I thought, here's a stock that's been beat up. It's got a lot of bad news out there. The earnings is what has been tearing this stock down. It's horrible. And the number one concern when you have so bad of earnings is this company going to go bankrupt? And that is the big question. Is this a candidate for a bankruptcy? And if it is, then you don't want to be owning the stock. However, let me throw in how powerful that put option is. If we were to do a put, if it went bankrupt, we would be protected, and we would be able to make money on that long put. Having a long put is that insurance policy, the right to sell that stock at a fixed price, but we pay for that instrument. So I was looking at a covered call in there, and I was looking at a way of getting into a put, ironically, but I was going to leg myself into it. So my expectation was, let's lower my cost basis down to $1.70, buy a long put at $2.50, and take the ride.
Yeah. I'm looking at the stock right now, and I'm trying to do a screen capture and send to you guys. The market's just closed seconds ago, 4.45. It actually went up to 4.7 before the bell. 5 years ago, it was at 6.28, and we had a support line drawn, I think, almost at 7, because I think we went 2 years out, but we might have gone all the way back. And if we had gone all the way back, we would have been probably about $5.82 for our support line right around there. And now we are actually below that. So you're right. Those earnings events, those earnings reports are not doing us any favors. And, you know, we're a full disclosure company. We talk about good trades and bad trades. And we're not saying that we're down, but we're not out. And like you said, with options, there's plenty of options, so to speak, with regards to moving upward with this trade. That's an interesting trade. And like you said, we've been into it about 6 months, and there's really no telling where it's going to go. We're just going to keep our eye out for it. We are about out of time. I'm going to give you guys the last word, but I just want to talk a little bit about one thing that I have learned when trading options is a lot of times, I don't know if we even call this a risk or we even talk about this in our classes, but I put, I don't know if trade is partial to Chinese companies or not, but we talked about ticker YY last week, and it is a, turns out that's a company based out of China, a social media company. And this week, I put a trade on ticker MOMO. Turns out that's also a Chinese company. And I don't know if TradeCaddy is just partial or how that's why that's happening. But I ended up putting a bull put on MOMO with a 39 short put strike and a 37 long put strike. And it was for, I think, 4 days. I think I did it on Monday for a Friday expiration. I like those short-term trades. And my credit basis ended up being $1.10, risking 90 cents. The issue that I have encountered, and it's not really a regret because we don't want to get too greedy. And let me see if I could find out what the percent ROI was on this trade. Oh, I don't know if this is correct. It says 122%. Maybe that's right. The stock price right now is at 44 dollars. But I limited profits by putting that short put strike at $39. So that is one of the, I guess I wouldn't call it a regret, but that's one of the limitations of putting in these trades where you limit your profits as well as limiting your risks. Can you think of any way to kind of, or John or RK, what were some of the, is this something I should just accept as a fact of trading options, is you're limiting your profits as well as your risk in certain trades? I mean, some trades you don't have unlimited risk, but with a bull put like this one, you really can only do so much, and you define your profit and your loss with the short and the long put.
Go for it, John.
I've stumped them.
You got me tongue-tied here, Andy. That was an earful.
Yeah. Basically, I'm just wondering if it's something that, as an options trader, you just accept. Like, I see that had I not placed that short put strike at 39, and I'd rather put it at 40 or 41 or 42, my profits could have increased. But it's because right now the stock price is at 44 and my expiration date is in 2 days. And I guess that's just part of the trick. Part of the trade is you just accept your profits when you get them, and the losses, you try to, narrow your losses with secondary exit.
You know, one of the things that we would teach at TradeCaddy is the no fear trading. And when we set our primary exit points, we set them for a specific, you know, normally we set them for a specific ROI have the options expire worthless. So you can never go wrong taking a profit. And, well, I shouldn't say that because I missed out on some pretty big when I took a profit, but I was happy with my profit, but it would have been much greater. But you never know that. A lot of times you stick in there. If you don't take that profit, it goes the other way, then you're out. You lose.
Right.
You know? So you've kind of got to be disciplined. And, yes, you do have to accept these things. And that's the purpose of the primary exit point. And the secondary exit point is to how you're going to modify the trade if it goes against you. So those are things that we all have to be extremely disciplined about, and something we'll go over in our Trade Caddy education, and we'll do a class on it specifically, is you know, that very thing. And I don't, again, I mean, what was your profit? What was your percent profit on the trade, Andy?
I think it was, if I'm doing my math right, it was 122% ROI. So I shouldn't be complaining.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I had a theoretical break-even point of $38.45. Obviously, the stock is way above that right now. And you're absolutely right. My primary exit point is clearly defined, as was my secondary exit. There's really no question. I should be happy with the profits I've received. Just seeing the stock continue, there is a sense of satisfaction of knowing that I picked the right direction and I was conservative enough that I didn't take too much risk. And now I'm reaping the profits and moving on and making more trades. And so that's pretty much all the time that we have. We are 6 minutes over. The market closed 6 minutes ago. Thank you guys so much for listening, and catch us next week at the same time. And until then, follow us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, sign up for our classes on Udemy, and we'll see you next time.
This is Power Trader Radio.